Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to talk about the Russian ruble. Now, the ruble has made a remarkable comeback. At the start of this war, we saw the value of the ruble crash. It went from around about 75 rubles to $1 to closer to 150 rubles to $1. And at that point, it looked like the currency was doomed and it was going to go even further. But since that point, it's become the best performing currency in the world. And I'm constantly being sent messages saying that the value of the ruble proves that Russia is doing very well and that the sanctions are not working. So in this video, I want to talk about why the value of the ruble has come back so quickly and show that that doesn't actually mean that Russia is immune to the sanctions and it's having no impact. In fact, what's going on with the ruble right now is not really representative of a globally traded currency, but we'll come on to that in a minute. So in this video, we'll look in some detail at the volume of trades in the ruble that have been happening historically and the volume of trades today. We'll look at what's going on with regards to Russian interest rates, because they've been all over the place. And normally when you have interest rates moving around wildly, you would get wild movements in the currency. So we'll have a look at exactly what's been going on with that situation. We'll talk about all of the restrictions that have been brought in by the Russian authorities on currency trading. We'll touch on what's going on with regards to natural gas payments. And then finally, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is going on with regards to the Russian ruble and what this means for the Russian economy and the global economy as a whole. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and also please subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters in my videos. So if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip through it and move on to the next. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and YouTube. Super thanks. This chart shows the value of the Russian ruble against the US dollar. And you can see that in the middle of February, before the invasion started, the exchange rate was somewhere in the region of 75 rubles to $1. As soon as the invasion commenced on the 24th of February, a variety of sanctions were brought in against Russia, which meant that various countries and companies would no longer be doing any trade with Russia. And that told the international markets that there was going to be less demand for Russian rubles, and therefore the value of the ruble fell significantly. And on the close of play on the 7th of March, the value of the ruble had fallen to 138 to $1. So within the space of 2 weeks, the value of the Russian ruble had halved. Now, this is entirely what you would expect when demand for a currency falls significantly. The assumption in the market was that the level of trade that Russia would be doing with the international community would be significantly less, and therefore the value of the currency was significantly lower. Now, since the 7th of March, the ruble has made a remarkable comeback. By the 31st of March, it was trading at 81 rubles to the dollar. And 1 month later, on the 29th of April, it had strengthened to 70 rubles to the dollar, which is actually the strongest level that it has been performing at over the last 12 months. So what has driven this remarkable comeback in the value of the ruble? Well, to start answering that question, let's have a look at the Russian ruble to US dollar chart, but this time we'll include the volume of trades. So you can see in this chart, the blue line plots the price of the ruble on a daily basis, so it's exactly the same curve as we've just seen. But over on the left-hand side here, the green and the red lines show the volumes of trade on each individual day. So if we look back to the period before the war started, we can see here on the 17th of February, the volume of trades in the market was 191,000 trades. So 191 individual trades, buying and selling of rubles, were done in the market. And when you look to the left of this graph, you can see that there are movements in the volume of trades. So some days were higher than 191,000, some days were lower. But on average, you can see that there were at least 140,000 trades done on most days. So that's a lot of trading. And that's what you would expect for an international currency. There's a lot of people buying and selling, and that's what makes a genuine market. Let's roll forward and see what happened to the volume of trades at the start of this war. On the 22nd of February, so at that point there was a lot of concern because Russia had around 100,000 troops that were lined up on the border of Ukraine, and there was nervousness that the invasion was about to start. So you can see on the left-hand side of this chart, on the 22nd of February, the market had fallen to 48,000 trades. So that was significantly lower than the average position. And that's because of the nervousness at that point. 3 days later, on the 25th of February, the volume of trades had fallen to 15,000. So this represents around 10% of a normal market. So we're already seeing a much smaller market at that point. This is 1 day into the invasion. The markets were very concerned about what was happening. By the 1st of March, the market had fallen to 2,000 trades. So this compares to the long-term average of around about 140,000 trades. So we are talking a fraction of the market. So this no longer represents a genuine global market. This is a very small number of trades. And if you now look at the volume of the bar charts in March and April, you can see that it is non-existent. There are a handful of trades. We are talking in the hundreds of trades. It doesn't even register on this scale. So the volume of trades that are happening right now in the Russian ruble do not represent a global market. This is no longer a normal market for the ruble. None of the brokers who were previously making markets in the Russian ruble are doing any business whatsoever. The market for Russian rubles is closed. The only entity that's doing any trade in the Russian rubles right now is Gazprom Bank. And Gazprom Bank is the Russian bank that's appointed to do all of the business for natural gas. So that is the only market maker in the world right now. And that does not represent a true position for a global currency. So we can talk about the Russian ruble on paper being the most successful currency globally. However, if there is only one market maker, then that isn't a market. That is a non-existent market. It's not representing true value. It's not representing the true position. The definition of a true market requires market makers and a lot of buyers and sellers. At the moment, we only have one market maker and we don't have any buyers of rubles. We've only got a variety of schemes that have been put together by the Russian authorities to improve the value of the ruble. If all of the market was to reopen tomorrow, then we would see a return to a normalized level of trading for the ruble, and it's unlikely that it would continue at the record high that it's at for the last 12 months. On the 28th of February, the Russian Central Bank increased the interest rate for the country from 9.5% to 20%. Now, this was done as an emergency measure for two reasons. Firstly, increasing interest rates usually has the knock-on impact of improving the value of a currency, the logic being that higher interest rates attracts investment and therefore should stabilize the value of that currency. In addition to the currency aspects, higher interest rates usually discourages spending and therefore has a deflationary impact on inflation. And Russia knew that it was heading towards a period of increased inflation. Since that initial interest rate increase, we have seen two major interest rate decreases by the Russian Central Bank. On the 8th of April, the official rate was reduced to 17%, and on the 29th of April, the rate was reduced to 14%. So over a period of 2 months, we have seen an increase of 10.5% and a subsequent decrease of 6% in interest rates. So these are quite wild movements. Now, as I said a minute ago, the increase in interest rates would have a strengthening impact on the currency. But the flip side of that is that the decrease in interest rates should have a detrimental effect on the currency because interest rates are becoming less attractive and therefore you would expect a flow of currency out of the country. However, the 3% reduction in interest rates that we have seen on two separate occasions has had no impact on the currency exchange rate. If we look at the ruble to dollar exchange rate chart, on the 7th of April, the ruble was trading at 78 rubles to $1. And despite the 6% reduction in interest rates that we've seen since then, the ruble has continued to strengthen and is now trading at around 70 rubles to $1. Which doesn't really make any sense. If you're a regular viewer of this channel, you'll know that we've been following Turkey in some detail. And when Turkey decided to start reducing its interest rates at the end of 2021, it had a disastrous impact on the value of the Turkish lira. And that's the sort of thing that you would expect here. We've seen a 6% reduction in interest rates. And so normally that should mean that the ruble would weaken. But it's actually strengthened over the same period, which is a really unusual outcome. To get a better understanding of exactly what's going on with the ruble, we need to look at some of the restrictive mechanisms that have been brought in by the Russian authorities. On the 28th of February, Russia instructed all of its exporters to sell 80% of all of their foreign currency in exchange for rubles. This restriction was brought in for two reasons. First and foremost, it increased the demand for rubles. All of these exporters were essentially selling euros and dollars and buying rubles. So we had a lot of business in rubles and it was all purchases. And when you have a lot of demand for anything, it usually increases the price. The second driver for this restriction is that it gave the Russian authorities access to euros and dollars. As you'll know, a lot of the overseas reserves have been frozen, so the dollar and euro accounts that Russia had been building up overseas were no longer available to them. And by forcing all the exporters to hand over their foreign currency, it meant that the central bank had access to this currency and therefore could use that in the future if it needed to. The final driver for this restriction is that it meant all of these companies were now sitting on large amounts of rubles rather than dollars or euros, and therefore they would have to pay all of their staff in rubles, which means that all of those employees are forced to deal in rubles rather than foreign currency, and that reduces the risk of dollarization of the Russian economy. On the 28th of February, the Russian Central Bank banned the sale of all securities by foreigners. This meant that all stocks, shares, and government securities held by international investors could not be sold. And this, again, was designed to prevent the value of the ruble falling. By banning the sale of all Russian securities, it meant that no money could be withdrawn from the country. And this obviously reduces the risk of anybody taking their money out of rubles and putting downward pressure on the currency. On the 28th of February, Russia introduced an outright ban on all residents transferring any money abroad. This was another measure designed to prevent a run on the ruble. Now, this ban has subsequently been relaxed slightly, and the citizens can now transfer up to $10,000 during the course of 2022. But there is still a restriction on the amount of money that can leave Russia. On the 31st of March, President Putin announced that all payments for natural gas from unfriendly countries had to be made in rubles. Now, this caused a lot of consternation amongst European countries because nobody had any rubles. It was impossible to make those payments. So the scheme was later clarified and all of those countries were allowed to make the payments in euros and dollars. However, they had to sign an agreement saying that they were happy for that currency to be converted into rubles by Gazprom Bank before the payment was made to Gazprom for the gas. And what this did is it created a market for rubles. Europe is paying around $450 million to Russia every single day for natural gas. So this scheme essentially created $450 million worth of demand for rubles every single day. Now, some countries such as Poland and Bulgaria refused to agree to these terms, and they've subsequently had their gas supplies switched off by Russia. One final issue that I'd like to discuss today is gold. Now, as you're probably aware, Russia has built up large reserves of gold. It's estimated that they are currently sitting on over $140 billion worth of gold within the Kremlin. And one of the comments that is regularly made in terms of the strength of the Russian economy and the strength of the ruble is that Russia has now pegged their currency to gold. So I wanted to clarify exactly what the position is and also to look at something really interesting. So in terms of the concept of pegging the value of the ruble to gold, this harks back to the good old days when you used to be able to exchange currency at the central bank for actual gold. And on the 25th of March, Russia announced that it was introducing a gold buying program at a fixed price of 1 gram for 5,000 rubles. So essentially what this was doing was putting a peg into the value of the ruble and saying that 5,000 rubles is now equivalent to the same as 1 gram of gold. And Russia announced this fixed price was to run from the 28th of March through until the 30th of June. So essentially this provided a direct link between the value of the ruble and the value of gold. However, on the 7th of April, only 10 days after the scheme was announced, Russia announced that due to significant change in market conditions, it would buy gold from commercial banks at a negotiated price. So essentially it was abandoning the peg scheme. So the statement about the significant change in market conditions indicates that this was costing Russia too much money, which on the face of it is a bizarre statement. If we look at what happened to the value of the ruble between those two dates, we can see that on the 28th of March, the ruble was valued at 94.5 rubles to $1. And by the 8th of April, the date when the scheme was abandoned, it had actually strengthened to 79.5 rubles. So the value of the ruble actually increased significantly over that period. And if we look at the gold price, we can see that the price of gold on the 28th of March in the markets was $1,937 per ounce. By the 8th of April, the price of gold had actually fallen to $1,932 per ounce. So over the 10-day period that this scheme was in place, the value of the ruble increased significantly and the value of gold actually decreased. So that means that the scheme was actually working in Russia's favour. However, they announced that they were abandoning the scheme due to significant movements in the market. Now that tells me that something is wrong with this data. Now the value of gold is the value of gold, so there's no question about the movement of that. So the thing that is in question is whether or not the ruble actually did significantly increase in value over that 10-day period. Because if they're saying that it was costing them too much money and they had to abandon the scheme, it means that the value of the ruble actually was falling. So the fact that Russia abandoned this peg system to gold tells me that the real value of the ruble was not actually increasing over that 10-day period and was more likely to be decreasing. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think there's a misconception right now that the strength of the Russian ruble shows that the Russian economy is doing really well and is unaffected by the sanctions. What I've tried to show you today is that the Russian ruble to dollar market currently does not reflect a global market. This is not a normal marketplace. In order to have a genuine market, you need to have lots of market makers and lots of activity. You need huge volumes of trade to show what the real value of a currency is. As you saw from the charts at the start of this video, the current market represents a fraction of the historic market. We are talking less than 1% of a normal market. So that is not representative of what the true value of the ruble is. In addition to the reduction in the volumes, we've also had a variety of schemes brought in by Russia to prevent the sale of rubles, to prevent any downward pressure. All of these schemes are effectively creating demand for the ruble or taking out any potential sell orders. So we've got a very, very small market, and even that small market is being manipulated because of the restrictive schemes that have been brought in. So the fact that the official exchange rate for the ruble to the dollar has increased from 140 to around 70 over the last month or so does not give you an indication as to what is actually going on in the Russian economy right now. The current exchange rate for the Russian ruble is not a genuine market and therefore cannot be seen as the true value of that currency. To get a true value of what the Russian ruble is worth, we need to see all of the international markets open back up again, and we need to see the removal of all of these restrictive practices. Now, that's unlikely to happen during the course of this war. So hopefully this has given you a much better understanding as to what's going on with regards to the exchange rate for the ruble and what factors are influencing the official rate right now. Hopefully you found this video useful, informative, and educational. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. Things are going really well from a subscriber's point of view, and we're almost there in terms of watch time. We're over three quarters of the way there for that 4,000 hours, but we still do need that final push. So if you've got time, if you've got the inclination, please jump over to Joe Blogs 2, watch one or two of the videos, or maybe click on the playlist, and that will help us get to that 4,000 hour mark. And don't forget that I'm looking for you guys to start making some really high quality videos, and they can be about anything. I ran a poll recently, and 73% of all respondents said that they were intending to make videos about finance. So if you're going to do that, then please put together a really nice professional slick video. Have a start, a middle, and an end. Have an introduction which tells us exactly what it is that you're going to talk about and give everybody an understanding as to what the video is about, because that's really how you get people to watch. You tell them what you're going to say and then you say it. And hopefully you can put together something really exciting and we can have a few videos that maybe go viral and we get into the millions of views. So please keep working on that. Please keep watching the videos. And thanks very much for watching this video all the way to the end.